I bring this story up because even if a guy who put down money for Hillary's candidacy to the tune of, you know, a lot of money, and spent time in the campaign, and even tried to go and become her speaking coach, right? If that guy is slightly reluctant to super support her out in public, how about all the other guys who aren't comfortable, who did not have a strong model of a woman in their lives, who maybe didn't have strong women, maybe grew up in some kind of more traditional society, or maybe who just feel downright insecure when confronted with a woman who is clearly smarter and more competent, okay? Because how many guys, how many humans are there out there who are smarter and more competent than Hillary Rodham Clinton? Not a whole hell of a lot, okay? So that brings us to the whole idea of insecurity. So you don't need a scientist to tell you this, but it's true that your average guy is going to be reluctant to date a woman who he sees as taller, smarter, more educated, or making more money. And I'm guessing making more money than him. So I'm guessing everybody, all the women in this room, have had some experience with that. Yes? Give me a little nod. Yes? Okay, good. So, and not good. Obviously, we're going to address that a little bit. The fact is that guys have this block. So today we're going to discuss what you can do about that block. Because guys are like the weather, okay? You can't change the weather. But you can work on you. You can change you. You can change your behavior. And you can wear clothing that is appropriate to the weather, right? You can wear something that shields you from the weather and enables you to make progress in the way you want to make progress, right? And you can, if the more you know about the weather, the better you can adapt to it, okay? So, and then there will be some little bit about training as well later on, but that's like advanced stuff. We start with recognizing that the weather we don't want to deal with so much, we can deal with ourselves first. Does that make sense? Okay, outstanding. All right, so, all right. Now, the basis for understanding the average guy's behavior, and I say the average guy because like the archetype, right? The average guy is all about winning, okay? Prime directive. So I don't know if you guys and ladies saw the movie RoboCop. But if you did, there's like, you know, prime directive, protect humans, right? So prime directive and guy, when he sees that screen, is win. He may not even know it, but that's the thing, right? And Vince Lombardi is quoted as saying, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. So whether or not that is actually adaptive or right, doesn't matter, but that is the thing, right? And if you were to have the equivalent prime directive for a woman, that would be relating. So connection, establishing a relationship, and perpetuating that through time. So winning for guys, right? And relating for women, they take priority over everything else. So give them a choice between relating and winning, the guy's going to try to win. And give them a choice between relating and winning, the woman is going to try to relate. So does that ring true for you? Okay, or am I making this stuff up? Okay, so this is basically writ very, very large. Now we're going to add some nuance to that, right? Now, there's two parts to the winning. So the guy wants to be winning, right? And if he's dating you, he also wants you to be his win, okay? Because you're part of the whole winning thing. So he wants you to be his win. So that's why we have trophy wives. A trophy is something that you win. Yay, right? Now, if you happen to be pretty and intellectually bland, that's a very easy win for a guy because he's like, behold, I have won, right? There's no challenge to his dominance, to his intellectual ability, to his achievement, and therefore, he's good, right? But if you just happen to be really smart, really accomplished, really tall, maybe make more money than him, suddenly he's like, how am I winning now, right? And he can't be your win. Because what he wants to do, to put a positive spin on it, he wants to be your hero. And if you are already X-er than him, more successful, taller, stronger, whatever, right, it becomes difficult for him to be your hero. Now, I'm strange. I happen to like taller, smarter women, right? Half my girlfriends have been taller than me. But even so, I know that anytime a woman is like markedly more competent in some domain, I feel a little insecure, you know. She takes me out to salsa. She's been salsaing for 15 years. She's like spinning, you know, little whirlwinds, doing this, that, flipping. I'm like, haha, okay, I can do the basic, right? Now I have two choices. I can either feel small and not participate, or I can just go and have fun. But way back in my mind, there's something saying you want to be better at this such that you can be at least as good as her and to be a good partner and to, you know, not feel small compared to all the other people in that room, especially the other guys. Okay, so just know that that is operating, okay? So where does that leave us if that is the program that's operating inside the guy's head, okay? So we got three choices. Let's say you're smart, let's say you're tall, let's say you're highly competent, let's say you make a bunch of money. Choice number one is you can dumb yourself down. You can knock yourself down a few pegs, so now he can feel good wherever he is. And don't laugh, because women have been doing this for thousands of years. Who didn't do that? Hillary Rodham Clinton. It's like, so, now you're the governor's wife, what are you gonna do? It's like, yo, if you think I'm gonna go and bake cookies, you got something else coming, okay? I got stuff to do. So, a lot of people didn't like that then, and people didn't like that now. And we're gonna talk about how some of those people who didn't like that were actually women, other women, right? So, because then she makes them look bad too. So now for each one of these options, I'm gonna give you what my recommendation is. So number one is a non-starter. Don't even think about it, okay? Because as far as I can tell, each one of you has a mission on this earth, and that mission is to give your gift. I don't know what that gift is, but your whole purpose of being here on this planet is to go out there, flourish, do your thing, and give your gift. Now, the point of relationship is that you're with somebody who catalyzes your ability to give that gift. If that person is not doing that, wrong person, okay? So you want to be able to go and give your gift, and ideally you have a relationship that allows you to do that even better. And having somebody that requires, for the sake of his ego, for you to knock yourself down and dim your brilliance, to me sounds like a terrible waste of life, okay? So, option one, probably not so great. Option number two is you can up your game, right? You can wave a middle finger in the general direction of the patriarchy and say, screw you, I'm gonna be even better, I'm gonna be even harder, I'm gonna be even more masculine. And you know what? That was a certain kind of strategy for quite some time too, right? And, you know, so what happens then? So you're out there, you're kicking ass, you're raising money, you're being hyper-competent, and that's good. You're succeeding. You're making stuff happen. But there's also a problem. So game theory is the study of looking at all the possible outcomes of a certain action and then giving them each a score and then deciding which one actually works out best for you. Any of you familiar with game theory a little bit? I mean, that's basically what it is. So game theoretically, you have a couple of choices here, right? So if you're going to go the hard route, choice one is you basically need a guy who's a beta male, right? The guy who'll take it. Guy who's gonna be your bitch, right? He's like, okay, I'm going on this ride and you're gonna follow me. And there are those guys. In fact, one of them was my dad. So it's true, but when you have a hard-driving woman, right, then you need a guy who can either go along with it, or option two, the guy who can be even more masculine than her. And if you're already using a lot of masculine energy, and do not be mistaken, if you're going out doing stuff, moving things around, making stuff happen, that is using masculine energy, right? If you're using that, then you're looking for a guy who can outdo that masculine energy. So now you're looking kind of in the brute category. So you're looking for a guy who is like, ugh. And what I want to emphasize, that what you want in a guy, which you're going to talk about in a minute, is you want both heart and spine. And the brute is all spine and no heart. So if you're going to go the route of hard-driving, tough, take-no-prisoners woman, then you are kind of, the decision tree bifurcates into these two choices as to partnership. You got the wimpy guy, or you got the brute. And the third option is you can enter into partnership with a good guy. So who's a good guy? So there's two aspects to that. Option three is you can enter into partnership with a good guy. So what is partnership? The partnership means that you're no longer competing. So option two is becoming very competitive woman. And if you're going to compete, you want to compete in who can be more loving, not on who can make more money, who can be more successful, or who can just be better, but rather you enter into partnership such that you're like, hey, now we have this partnership. There's this third thing. There's me, there's you, and there's bond. And you are going to develop the bond. And that's a very different mentality than trying to win. Okay? So winning was the domain of who? The guy, exactly. Okay, so, and I mention this because I wrote this here book for smart, successful, strong women who are out there kicking butt and winning. But at the same time, you have to realize that there has to be some balance. So this brings us to the whole idea of polarity. So if you want, in any kind of interaction, this seems to be a rule of the universe. Energy flows when you have opposite poles of things. You have a positive, you know, cathode, you got negative, you got anode, you got electrons flowing between them, you get electricity, and then you get this. It's pretty cool. You have North Pole, you have South Pole, you get magnetic lines of force. You have high, you have low, you pour water, it comes down, it does things. So polarity seems to be an essential aspect of the way you get energy flow happening. And what's happening between a man and a woman, ideally, is you got some kind of energy flow. So somebody's going to be masculine, somebody's going to be feminine, and, you know, they are not exactly the same as male and female, but they do correspond to male and female roughly. And there are different times when people have different kinds of energy. But roughly speaking, males tend to have more masculine energy, females tend to have more feminine energy. What you want is to have this polarity, and you want to have this dance of polarity such that you know there is some energy flow, right? So if you decide to occupy the polarity of out there doing stuff, and what is masculine energy but outward moving energy? It's just outward moving energy. Feminine energy is inward moving energy. So out, in, going out, receiving. So if you are doing most of the going out energy, then you want to be with somebody who's more receptive. And if you are going to be the more receptive, you're going to want somebody who's strong with the energy that's moving out. Okay? It so turns out that it's easier for a woman to embody feminine energy, and it's easier for the guy to embody masculine energy. And, you know, things switch around. I mean, sometimes you're going to be driving the car, and he's going to be the passenger seat, and that's okay. But just be aware of that, and be aware of what your strength is, okay? So, now, here's the deal. So I'm going to talk about the good guy in a second, but I recently read a book, fantastic book. It's called The Story of the Human Body. And it's by Dan Lieberman. He's the professor of evolution. He's the head of the Department of Evolutionary Biology at Harvard. And great guy. And the book is about 6 million years of hominin evolution. And the new word is hominin. It's not hominid. And we've been evolving for 6 million years and developing all kinds of different capabilities. And I bring up the number 6 million because this whole idea of living in a fixed place has only been going on for 10,000 years. So we've been evolving for 6 million, and for 10,000 years we've had agriculture and being stationary, so this is a relatively recent development. Before that, we were hunter-gatherers. So, to a first approximation, all of your genes that have been shaped by evolution have been designed for you to be a successful hunter-gatherer. Now, when we say hunter-gatherer, who's doing the hunting? Mostly the guy, right? So the guys are hunting, you know, bringing home the mastodon meat, and defending you from neighboring tribes and other threats. And what are the women doing? The women are gathering, and they're also taking care of the tribe and the kids and everything, and also cooking the food. So there's a very clear division of labor, and everybody has power, and everybody is essential. If you live in a tribe of 20 people, nobody's extra, and everybody's doing stuff, and it's a very flat hierarchy. There is no hierarchy. Everybody is involved. Now let's fast forward to the present, so after, you know, 10,000 years ago, when you start to have agriculture. So what happened was people started to have stationary lives, right? And then there's this notion of property. You're not this roaming band of nomads, but there's a stationary place where you live. And now you're accumulating grain, now there's this property, and then there's this thing called marriage, which is basically the extension of the idea of property to women, basically. And there's a precipitous drop in status and power for women, right? And the guys have to develop armies and all this stuff to fight back neighboring tribes, because now you have a surplus and that turns into money. Huge mess, okay? And so you have millennia during which the status of women drops. And before that you have goddess cults, massive equality, and then that changes. Fast forward to the present day. You can now go to Whole Foods and get your mastodon meat anytime you want. You don't have to fight for it. You don't have to hunt. It's right there, right? You probably work at Google and pull down $100,000 a year. You don't need money. You don't need an army to protect you. You don't need any of that stuff, right? So suddenly you have guys whose purpose in life is not really clear vis-a-vis women. Before, he was out there and he knew that his job was to defend you and kill animals and bring you the meat, because meat is essential, especially if you're a woman. Women, for whatever reason, every month they lose part of their blood supply, with it their iron, and bioavailable iron is in meat, and so you needed meat. And now you don't need him to bring you meat, right? Now he tries to take you to a steakhouse, which is, you know, some kind of poor substitute. But the point is, you don't really need the guy anymore. So what's up with that? Okay? What do you do? Well, if you're a guy, what you do